Survivor Series is just a few days away, and I'm going to give you all of my Survivor Series predictions, including why the Becky Lynch injury could be a blessing in disguise in the next couple of months. Let's go.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
And welcome to the WWE Podcast, guys. Thank you for joining me. This is the exclusive post-show of the show. And this time, it's about Survivor Series. It's about Survivor Series 2018. And if you heard my show with my co-host, if you will, interview or discussion with James Ludeman, you guys know a little bit about what we think is coming down the line for Survivor Series and actually looking forward to beyond that and all the way to WrestleMania, which is crazy to think about that we're actually on the brink of going into the season of WrestleMania, but we're there, believe it or not. And I know many people look at the road to WrestleMania starting at Royal Rumble. I look at it at Survivor Series when things are really starting to take shape for what they're going to do when they start to, the official road to WrestleMania. So it's the road to WrestleMania, if you will. So let's get into it. And I'm going to not waste anybody's time here. And I'm just going to get right into my predictions. And boy, this card looks a little bit different than it did about 48 hours ago, doesn't it? Between Bryan turning heel, winning the WWE Championship, Becky Lynch with the extremely ill-timed injury that she had. Wow. Things are shaping up to be interesting. It's a shame that Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar didn't get more time for a match that many of us wanted to see, but not with, you know, basically zero build and a Charlotte Flair Ronda Rousey match that we also wanted no build, or we wanted build and got no build for. So it's a very bizarre a chain and turn of events that I don't think anybody saw coming. So let's dive into the top of the card. I'm not going to waste any time because your time is precious. My time is precious. Everybody's time is of great value. So Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar. So many ways that WWE could go with this. And I don't know. I don't feel very confident in saying that Brock is going to dominate, but I also don't feel confident in saying that Daniel Bryan could squeak out a win. I just don't. I think that if Daniel Bryan were to win here, it's due to Braun Strowman's interference. And yes, I know Braun Strowman is part of Team Raw. That doesn't mean he can't show up during this match. It does not exclude him from not showing from showing up in another part of the show. And I think if Bryan were to win here, it is because of Braun Strowman, and I would not be surprised. But part of me also wants to see a straight-up match. Then you throw in the odd Bryan is a heel versus Brock who's a heel, and I just don't know. I don't understand the dynamic of this one. It's a very odd one. Since Bryan's a freshly turned heel, and the fans haven't really got a chance to really feel why and see reasons why they should dislike him, I still believe, even though Bryan's a freshly turned heel, that he's going to be portrayed by the audience as a babyface in this match because of the history of Daniel Bryan. I don't believe his entire babyface support was erased in a single low blow, Shinsuke Nakamura-like, to AJ Styles and SmackDown Live. I really don't believe that. I think Daniel Bryan is still going to be portrayed as the fan favorite in this matchup. And rightly so. I really don't want to see heel Daniel Bryan trying to low blow Brock Lesnar, and because it's just not the Daniel Bryan I want to see. It's going to be very interesting to see how this match goes, how it's portrayed. Does Daniel play to the crowd? Does he try to cheat to win? All of these things. So many variables that I would not put any money on any of these bets for virtually almost all of these matches that are coming up this Sunday. With that said, my official prediction for Brock versus Bryan is that Brock Lesnar goes over. And the reason I say that is because Braun Strowman's waiting in the wings for Brock Lesnar. He cannot lose clean to Daniel Bryan. There could be some interference from AJ Styles. He is could very well pop up in this part of the match and cost Bryan this matchup. I think he would be well deserving to do that. And that's how I think this ends. Yes, Braun could get involved, but I think Brock is going to be in Braun's sights after Survivor Series, so I really don't believe a need to heat things up for really almost no reason because you're getting what you want, Braun. So that's my prediction, that Daniel Bryan loses via AJ Styles interfering or Brock just absolutely decimating him, but I don't see the value in that either. This needs to be a back-and-forth match. You cannot have Brock go and beat this man to a pulp with almost no offense, almost for no value, because this is a one-off. It would, I think, damage Bryan greatly for a match that we've all wanted to see for quite some time, and it's a shame we didn't get the proper build. So with all that convoluted nonsense, Brock goes over. All right, let's get into the next main event here, and that is Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair. And this is a match we all believed we were going to see at WrestleMania, myself included. This was a match that was almost a Roman Reigns-like transparent destination that WWE was trying to create for Charlotte. And could they still get there? Yes. It doesn't mean that this match couldn't happen at WrestleMania, but it's much less likely based on how this whole thing is going and how hot Becky Lynch is. Now, at the top of the show, you heard me say that this could be a blessing in disguise and have implications all the way to WrestleMania. This is how. Becky Lynch versus Ronda at WrestleMania. And you could tell a story from now until WrestleMania if you wanted to. The problem is keeping Becky this hot or hotter from now until then. You know, sometimes you want to strike while the iron's hot, and right now the iron's hot. The question is, can you sustain that momentum for Becky? And that's hard to do. That is really hard to do for that from now until WrestleMania, but maybe it can be done. Maybe they're not looking at WrestleMania. Maybe they're looking at Rumble or whenever she can return to action. So we'll see. But I'm back to Ronda versus Charlotte. I still believe Ronda goes over here, and Ronda is the heavy favorite. I don't see a need for Charlotte to come out of the woodwork, so to speak, who just lost to Becky, to come out and beat Ronda Rousey. Ronda does not need to lose to a person who's not on the show that she's working on. And I really just don't believe it. I still think it's predictable as this is. Ronda taps out Charlotte Flair clean. I still believe that. I still believe that to be the case. And I think it's the smartest way to book right now. You have Becky, who is absolutely on fire. And you don't need to have the woman who lost to her beat Ronda Rousey and not be able to follow up on that win. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. So the smart booking here is don't get cute. Have Ronda outright beat Charlotte in this match. And I think that as far as Ronda goes, from saving her from getting the crowd to destroy her at Survivor Series, having Charlotte in there, I think, is a much softer, safer opponent for her to be able to have a softer landing and not be so harsh from the audience that I believe would have supported Becky over Ronda. So I'm sure Ronda and company are breathing a sigh of relief when it comes to the babyface journey that WWE has successfully administered over the last 6 months that Ronda's been in WWE. All right, let's move down the line here. We have SmackDown champion versus Raw champion. So Seth Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura. You have the IC champion and the United States champion. And so I think this, now on paper, this has the potential to be match of the night. It really does. It has the potential to be that match. The question will be, does WWE give these two enough time to tell the proper story? If given 15 to 20 minutes, like it could be and should be, this could be match of the night. I wouldn't put too much stock in that, however. I just don't have faith in WWE that they look at this as a main event match that has a long affecting implications for either man coming out of this, because Seth is moving on to Dean Ambrose. That's really Seth's destination. And admittedly, Seth had said this on Raw, that he is going to be laser focused on Shinsuke, but make no mistake, he wants Dean Ambrose. And it's almost as if Shinsuke is an afterthought in this match that on paper looks amazing from an in-ring perspective and technical prowess and storytelling. But you have Seth now really focused on Dean, and I still believe that Seth Rollins will beat Shinsuke here. So that's my prediction. Shinsuke does not need the win as much as Seth does as he rolls towards Dean Ambrose. Now, I will say that with a caveat, because I could see Dean absolutely interfering and costing him the match for Shinsuke to win. Now, that is a lot of people, what they're predicting is Dean to interfere, cause Seth the match, Shinsuke wins. And absolutely, that makes sense. You could also see a post-match beatdown where Seth beats Shinsuke, only to get beat down again by Dean after the matchup. So I'm still going with Seth Rollins here, with a post-match beatdown of Dean beating on Seth once again. So that's how I think that one goes down. All right, let's move down the line again, and we have the AOP versus The Bar. Again, it's who needs the win more here, guys, and The Bar feels stale. They are very much in the mode of treading water. Creatively, from a production standpoint, in ring, they feel very routine. It's not a terrible thing. They're not bombing, but it's hard to engage myself in these men who are, I think, very good in-ring performers, but there's nothing really going on with them other than just kind of they're there, and they're a formidable tag team, and you know you're gonna always get a solid match out of the two. But I don't believe that these two right now are the focus of WWE as far as elevating them. Right now, this is about AOP, who need to be established as a legitimate tag team. And I think they will be. I think that AOP goes over here and beats The Bar. I really do. And they need the win more than The Bar do. I mean, if The Bar were to beat AOP, I think it would define AOP down even further, especially for those who didn't watch them in NXT. You need to continue to build a little bit of notoriety on these men. And there's no consequence for The Bar losing here. None. Zero. So there's nothing on the line. This is all about AOP getting elevated, and they have to win this match. I just see no other way. All right, Bobby Roode, Team Raw, which is Bobby, Chad, Revival, the B Team, and Lucha House Party, and the Ascension. My God, the Ascension. That's how you know you're digging. You're digging for teams at this point. Versus Team SmackDown, which was the Usos, New Day, Sanity, Luke Gallows, Karl Anderson, and the Colognes. And again, I don't want to say I don't care, but I kind of don't care, because this is a 20-man match. It's going to be a mess. I really have no. This is the one match that I really don't care too much about, just because there's so many men involved. And on top of that, last Monday night, Braun came out and interrupted the tag team battle royal match, really again defining down the tag team division, that Braun Strowman is greater than any single tag team on Raw. So I see, I mean, I'm going to go, let's see, because I went with, what did I go with here? I went with Brock going over, which is a Raw win. I'm going with Ronda going over, which is a Raw win. I'm going with, Seth going over, that's a Raw win. I'm very scared about that pick, by the way, now that I'm looking at it as a whole. I'm going with AOP as a SmackDown, or a Raw win. I need to, I'm going to go with SmackDown here. Team SmackDown for the tag teams. They have to. So I got to even things out. Team Raw. Now we get into the real 5-on-5 here, and this is going to be I don't even know. I really don't know who it's going to come down to. I mean, we have Dolph Ziggler, we have Drew, we have Braun, we have Finn, we have Lashley with Baron Corbin and Lio Rush versus SmackDown, which is The Miz, Shane McMahon. My God, Shane McMahon, please stop. Rey Mysterio, Samoa Joe, and Jeff Hardy. And I think Team SmackDown wins this for the simple fact of I need to even things out because I'm scared about so many Raw picks. And I really don't, again, this brand supremacy thing, it doesn't hold any weight. There's nothing to it. It has nothing. There's no consequences for this. So for me to care about this rivalry and for this rivalry to really mean anything, even from a storyline perspective, nothing. I just don't even know how they carry this over. I mean, what's the consequence for either brand if they lose? Nothing. I don't know. So I'm going with a SmackDown win here. And I think it could come down to, I don't know, boy. If I'm going to go with a final two, probably Drew McIntyre. And it's got to be a babyface. I'd say Drew McIntyre and Rey Mysterio. That's probably who it comes down to at the end. If it's Shane McMahon, I'm going to lose my mind. Because I just don't believe Shane McMahon has any business being in the ring at this point. But I say Rey Mysterio and Drew, it comes down to, puts up a good fight. Drew ends up beating Rey Mysterio badly. All right, then we got Team Raw again, which is the women's 5-on-5. Mickey James, Nia Jax, Tamina, Natalya, Ruby Riott, who's Alexa Bliss, is the inactive captain, versus Team SmackDown. And that's Carmella, Naomi, Sonya Deville, Asuka, and I have to be announced, but we did learn on SmackDown, or did we? I don't know. I'll be honest, guys. I did not register that in my brain. I'm looking at my paper, and I have to be announced as the fifth component in that Raw match, that Raw versus SmackDown women's match. I don't think it really matters because I really believe at this point that Team Raw is going to take this one. And the reason is Alexa Bliss. Even though she's not an official part of the match, I think her being able to brag that she was the team captain and won this match for Raw is a good way for her to stay relevant even though she's injured. So that is where this one goes. Again, this is all about bragging rights, guys. I might as well name this bragging rights pay-per-view. It's just ridiculous. But to me, this is a good way for Alexa to stay relevant. So I'm going with a Team Raw victory for the 5-on-5 women's match. Okay. And the final eighth match of the night, we have Buddy Murphy versus Mustafa Ali. I'm going with Mustafa Ali. I think he's very underrated as an in-ring performer. And I'm going to go with Mustafa Ali. I think that right now it's time for a change in the Cruiserweight Championship. So I'm going with Mustafa Ali. And that's my predictions. So I wonder what you guys think. Let me know what you guys think about this, because this is a very tough pay-per-view to predict. Very, very tough. So many last-minute changes, and it's very difficult to predict with all of these moving parts and all of these changes. I've never seen, that was one of the biggest SmackDowns I've seen in a very long time, and I still don't know whether it's a good or bad thing. Just with the Daniel Bryan heel turn, I initially didn't like it. I'm willing to give this a chance. Many people are outraged. Think about this, guys. Daniel Bryan has been doing this yes thing for how many years now? And yes, he had years in between in which he was not able to compete due to his injuries, right? But even as general manager, he never really did it for me, I think. He came across still a little scripted at times. Never really recaptured that magic of the yes movement back from WrestleMania 30. Almost 5 years ago, guys. Five. So this has been a long time coming, I think, and it's the right time to do it. He's been feeling kind of stale over the last, really, couple of years. I mean, when they really think about it, people are doing yes, but they're just doing the yes chance, I think, at least, just because that's just what you do when Daniel comes out. I don't think there's a lot of feeling behind it. I think he's lost a little bit of that connection with the audience. It's been kind of like, oh yeah, we like you, you're Daniel Bryan. But there hasn't been anything new and exciting going on with him, and this is a great way to reinvigorate his career. Not only do you turn him full out heel, you really make it a nasty turn. You give him the WWE Championship after AJ held it for 370 plus days. It's a good way and to really reintroduce Daniel Bryan, and I'm willing to give it a chance. We've seen him as a heel. I mean, look at WrestleMania 29 with, I mean, the infamous Sheamus match that he lost in, what, 7 seconds or whatever it was, and that's when he started like gaining a little traction with the Yes Movement and the whole AJ Lee kiss and all that nonsense. That, I think, was the beginning of it, but he was a heel back then. We've seen him as a heel. I think people forget that, and he was good as a heel. So now that you fast forward all these years later, he's got some experience under his belt, it's time to move forward with Daniel Bryan's character. So it's amazing, though, that they'll turn Daniel Bryan heel, but they will refuse to turn Roman heel. It's just amazing. And obviously, with Roman out, it's very, very unlikely upon his return. But I've been wrong before, and maybe I will be this time. And when you think about it, too, how many heel turns has WWE done this year? It's amazing when you think about this. I mean, they have Randy Orton turn heel, one of the more successful turns. You obviously have Daniel Bryan turn heel. You had Braun Strowman turn heel. Just so many different heel turns this year. I know there's others I'm forgetting. It just feels like there's just an influx of heel turns. It's crazy. And really, Dolph Ziggler turned heel when he returned with Drew McIntyre. He was, I guess, a quasi-heel before that. I know he feuded with The Miz and had his career on the line versus The Miz. And, you know, there's been so many this year, and it's a lot to keep up with. I mean, I'm all for it. I like heel turns. They make me interested again in a character that might be getting stale, a la Daniel Bryan. So those are my predictions. We'll see what happens. I'm not confident. Don't bet your house. Don't bet any money on my predictions. I am not confident in almost any of them. I'm really not, which makes it an interesting show on so many different levels. Yes, we're not getting Becky versus Ronda. We are all disappointed about that. But it's gonna happen. You cannot ignore a match like that with a superstar that hot, with a name brand household name like Ronda Rousey. You can't ignore that. It's happening. It's just, when? Does it happen at the Rumble? Does it happen at Mania? I don't know. But nobody needs to sit there and you know, sit there with tissues and cry. It's going to happen. Just give it some time. When Becky's ready and the time is right, you will see them go at it. So we'll see. And again, Daniel Bryan versus Brock is going to be a match that I don't really know what the hell's going to happen. When you have a newly turned heel and you have really David versus Goliath, but it's also a match that you have been waiting for, but you really can't afford to have Brock beat Bryan in a very dominating way. It's fascinating. It's really fascinating and a great time to be a fan, even though we didn't get the matches that we thought we were going to get, or at least for the top two. We still have a very intriguing card on our hands. So that's what I have to say about Survivor Series. And so anyway, guys, thank you for joining me. And again, you can follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. You can also, if you haven't already, you can go on patreon.com/WWE Podcast and become a patron of the show. And you get to come on the show if you want. You can submit a topic for me to talk about exclusively about for the entire show. There's lots of other cool stuff, ad-free, all that stuff, all that goody-goody stuff that you guys can do. So, guys, again, as always, you know what I'm going to say. Thanks for joining me. And I'll talk to you after Survivor Series.